about.
Hello, God. First of all, apologies for all the recent masturbation, but I gotta say, that's kind of on you.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Who's a good boy? Who's a good boy?
You guys know who this is. This guy needs no introduction. Mr. Tony Hawk, how you doing, man?
Good, thank you.
Now, you still have your radio show on Sirius, right? Where could people find that?
And now,
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. How you doing? It's Rodney and the Rock here.
Rodney.
Rocking the hits. What can I say?
Our feature presentation.
Just rocking the hits? What can he say?
I thought he said honking the hits.
No. Did he say honking?
That's what I thought he said.
Oh, that's the best.
Hold on. Let me go back to the tape here. Let's see.
We need to honk the hits.
Honking the hits.
Right?
Did
he say honking the hits?
He said honking.
Where on earth would Rodney have heard honking the hits?
Well, it's very possible that he misspoke, but...
We used to say that all the time, remember?
No.
Honking the hits was one of our things.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
It is now. We're going to be honking the hits big time.
Rodney, though, that was a shock to me.
Honking the hits.
So, good times.
I love it. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 2nd of March.
How was everybody's weekend?
Well, you know, living large like we do.
Do anything fun?
Do anything fun.
I'm going to go with no.
No.
Because there was a big lull for both of us.
Too long of a pause there.
Yeah.
No, you?
Nah.
Awesome. Now
but do I ever? Come on.
No, you never do. That's true.
Yeah, I pace myself. That's how I'm going to live to be 100, you guys. I don't want to overexert myself.
Right. That's how you faint on the board.
Yeah, sitting.
Head first.
Did a lot of sitting. Did plenty of sitting.
Yes.
Let me tell you what I didn't do is what this young man, Christopher Jones, did recently. This is a terrifying video. He's 22 years old from Perth, and he had an epileptic seizure while he was doing something that you don't want to be doing when you have an epileptic seizure.
Okay.
Any guesses as to what that thing might have been?
Masturbation?
All right. That's a good guess for you, Kevin.
I went driving, but that's nice for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Driving is a great guess, too.
Would be
epileptic seizure. Hey, if you have epilepsy and you have seizures, are you allowed to drive or do they not let you?
Well, I would think you wouldn't be able to drive, but what if it was your first?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. Chip, you got a guess? We have driving and we have masturbation.
Ooh, gosh, those are two good ones.
He had a seizure for 30 seconds in the middle of doing something.
Of doing something.
Chip, we're only on till 10.
Yeah.
We got to keep it moving.
She's out.
She's out.
All right, she's out. The answer is he was skydiving.
Oh, dear God.
Before his parachute had been pulled, he had a seizure.
Wow.
Yeah, a near-death experience, and there is a video. He was not skydiving in tandem, but he did have an instructor with him skydiving alongside, who managed to, just like you see in the movies, managed to get to him and pull the ripcord on the unconscious man. 40-year-old Sheldon McFarlane was the instructor there. He did not know that his pupil, Mr. Jones, had epilepsy, but apparently he had not had a seizure in over 4 years and had been given the all-clear by his doctor. He thought that it was under control. He had been completely seizure-free. He was a man who always wanted to – Christopher Jones here, 22 again. He was a man who always wanted to be a pilot but was not able to because of his epilepsy. So he said, I'll just go skydiving instead. That's what I'm going to do. So he jumps out of a plane at 9,000 feet, and he goes into a seizure after about 30 seconds or so, for about 30 seconds. And fortunately, he's spinning out of control, just completely unconscious and completely unaware. And the instructor was able to get to him, was able to pull the ripcord on his parachute. He woke up, by the way, about 3,000 feet from the ground. He woke up, so he was able to steer the parachute and land on his feet. And that's when he told the instructor, oh, by the way, I've got epilepsy.
That must have been a nightmare, waking up going,
what's happening?
I remember I was jumping out of a plane.
Yes. So you see the video and you see him, you know, smiling and hamming it up for the camera. And then he just goes limp, basically, for the next 30 seconds of free falling. And then, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's what he woke up to, is he woke up to, hanging on to a parachute on my way toward the ground. So
thank God for that instructor.
No kidding. Thank God for that instructor.
How terrifying for him as well.
Yes, I would imagine so. Oh. So he is some kind of a hero. But I don't know. I feel like maybe he's this guy's probably done skydiving. I feel like after 4 years, he's back in the seizure business, it sounds like. But at least a happy ending on this story for a change.
Seizure business.
Not sure that's really is that
not the expression?
Yeah, not I'm sure.
Certainly not the expression.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that's a positive.
But good times, though, right?
Yes, good times are had by all.
Great.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I actually don't care about what you're talking about, and I never will.
We're going to announce April Foolishness.
Actually, I'm gonna take it back then. That's actually pretty good news.
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. We will announce everything, including ticket on sale, at 7:15 this morning.
Fantastic.
So check that out. That's going to be strong. We have Kevin Bacon on the program today talking about the following.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to take calls from people who've had a gun pulled on them, of which I am one. Had a gun put to my head.
Bizarre.
Good times. We are going to talk about a doctor who's claiming that he can do a transplant with a head. He can give you a head transplant. That seems impossible. And foolish, but the guy says he can do it. Somebody that works on the Kevin and Bean Show had their Twitter account suspended. Very excited about that.
Yeah.
Can't wait to talk about that. And we'll check in with Dax Holt from TMZ for all of the celebrity news from over the weekend. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:49.
Ralph Garman.
Sometimes an Indian jumps out of a plane and he says, me.
That's right. That did happen.
How was your weekend, man? Apparently none of us did anything interesting or fun.
Too flippin' short. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Friday night, big sold-out Hollywood Babylon show at the Improv. Was delicious.
You're still doing that BS?
Still doing it.
All right.
And it was a blast. We had a good time. And then Saturday was my daughter's first T-ball game. She crushed it.
Did you get in fights with other parents?
I did. Like, that was a strike! Throwing blows.
And a strike in T-ball?
No, there isn't. Oh. You just keep
good catch, though.
Just keep hitting the ball. Yeah, thanks for keeping me honest. I appreciate it, Alex. And then Sunday, went to a couple's baby shower.
Those are BS.
Which are total BS.
Those are BS.
Total BS. How'd you get roped into that?
Well, because they're good friends of ours. Actually, it was Jay Muse. Jason Mewes and his wife. Mm-hmm. So it was at Kevin Smith's house, and Kevin and his wife were throwing it. So, you know, I was amongst friends. It wasn't too bad. It was fine.
As far as couples,
but still, it's
showers.
It's
go.
Shower. It's a baby shower. Yeah, a
lot of. Now, you just don't get as excited over onesies as the ladies do.
A lot of finger sandwiches and a lot of diaper talk and things.
Good times.
Did you play the fun game where you have to smell the diaper to see what kind of candy bars in it? That is a good time.
That sounds terrible.
That's a thing that they do.
They melt the candy bar in the diaper, right? So it looks like poop, and then you have to figure out what candy bar it is.
Can you not do that?
I would love to not do that.
I don't believe that's an option.
That's a terrible idea.
Horrible.
That's awful.
Yeah, it
sure takes away your appetite.
You'd think.
You don't want to eat the candy bar.
No.
I'm guessing.
And you guys have the time to squeeze in the Ronda Rousey fight over the weekend?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. I watched the first half, but I'm saving the rest of it for next weekend.
I'm guessing it was a quickie.
14 seconds.
Well, that happened for $100.
Yeah.
Wasn't it about $100 to get pay-per-view?
I think it was 50 maybe?
No, $4.99 or something like that.
Yeah. Well, then it's worth it for 50.
I was going to ask you guys, and Ralph, I don't mean to bite your time because
no,
I know you got showbiz
plenty.
Here.
But, got nothing but time.
But I was going to ask you guys. I was serious about this. I did not get the fight only because I forgot. My plan all week was to get the fight, and then I totally forgot about it on Saturday night.
Right.
If you bought the fight, Kevin, you did, right?
Yes.
If you bought the fight, do you feel you got your money's worth because you got to see an incredible athlete in her prime devastate her opponent in record time? Or do you feel ripped off and it was a big fat waste of your money because you didn't get as much entertainment for the evening as you hoped?
Well, I didn't get as much as I had hoped, but I did want Ronda Rousey to win. Mm-hmm. And I was fascinated by this Zingano. Her game plan was to run at Ronda Rousey and try and throw her down.
Right. She tried to surprise her, right?
Running into a buzzsaw.
Yeah, that seems like a terrible plan. So Rhonda flips her, and they flip over, and she armbars her, and it's over.
Vegas had it a 10-1 shot, and I was like, I'm not going to spend money on a 10-1 fight. What's the point?
Yeah.
When they say it's so obviously a mismatch, what's the point of spending that money?
As we talked to Rhonda last week on the show about it, it seems like there are no valid competitors for her.
Yeah,
like, who's she going to fight?
Right.
She's got to fight somebody, but nobody's anywhere near her.
And Rhonda actually said this was the closest in comparison to her athletic ability. So
right.
She thought, this is going to be the first match. But she also said, this is the best I have felt since I was 16. And I thought,
yeah.
Oh, God bless you, Kat.
Man,
good
luck.
But you never know how much of that is selling the fight, though, too.
Yes,
very true.
That's right. You always got to talk up your opponent.
Oh, I'm scared of this one because this is my biggest challenge. 14 seconds later.
But the fight last July was 16 seconds.
Yeah.
And this one was shorter.
So Kevin is improving.
The answer to the question is then you felt like it was valid then.
Yeah, I mean,
you're happy with what you got out of it.
You always know that that's one of the options with these fights. A lot of them didn't go the whole way.
And she's a first rounder, let's face it.
Yeah. That was crazy. But it was so crazy just to see the other girl just go run out 14 seconds. Ah, done. And then Joe Rogan's interviewing her. That was brutal. She's like, oh, F. I want to do it again. I need another try.
Our friend Jensen had the best line on Twitter that I saw, which was he said, I would only last 14 seconds with Ronda Rousey, too.
Zing! So,
pretty funny stuff.
He means sexually.
See?
What?
That's what he did there.
Oh.
He's a card. He has to be dealt with. All right, it's Monday morning. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Focus. He hardly even knows this. In its debut, $19 million made it number one. $19 million? I thought it was kind of weak. More money for
what
that
he said.
Would be good, better have to be.
That's not the kind of Will Smith box office we
yes,
remember.
That's my point, exactly. Kingsman, The Secret Service, was second at the box office with $11.75 million. SpongeBob SquarePants still hanging in there at number three. Sponge Out of Water made over $11 million. 50 Shades of Grey was fourth. The Lazarus Effect. Not a lot of people wanted to see Olivia Wilde brought back to life. $10.6 million made at number five. McFarlane USA, American Sniper. The Duff, Still Alice, and Hot Tub Time Machine 2 were your top 10 movies at the box office. Over the weekend, speaking of movies, Blade Runner sequel is a go.
Yes.
Ridley Scott will produce. And Harrison Ford will return to reprise his role as police officer Rick Deckard, who's hunting down the replicants.
Oh.
I hope they go with the voiceover version.
Go to the same under the robots. Freeze.
This movie will take place decades after the last one. Well, hell, it better, given Harrison's age. It's not going to be a week later. He's just going back revisiting all his old roles, isn't he? Blade Runner and Han Solo.
This seems like a bad choice right here.
He's wrapping up his career.
How can you top the first one? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm speechless about it. I really am.
It's a good question.
Fellas, how would you like to take care of yourself, pleasure-wise, and do something good for the environment?
And do something good for the environment?
Yep.
I like the first part, don't care about the second part.
Well, thanks to our good friends at Pornhub, they have developed the Wank Band.
The what?
The Wank Band.
Okay.
You strap it to your wrist, and by moving your hand in a particular motion, the device generates electricity.
Very strange.
There's a USB port on the side so you can power your cell phone, excuse me, iPad, laptop, or anything else that needs a charge, just by doing what comes naturally.
That's bullshit.
Why is that BS, kid?
Why does that kid not like it? Mom, hang on.
Hang on, Mom.
My phone's dying. Hold on.
That kid has not reached his true potential yet. That's why.
Now, will people be able to put that online like they do their Fitbit stats?
I think you will be. Wank Band stats.
I want to see them.
Come on. You can charge your phone while you're taking care of business. No. Come on. Why is Daniel more excited about this?
Nope.
Well, I just feel like there are other ways to charge your phone without requiring multitasking.
But what if you can get a little something extra done on the side?
Okay. There might be times where that might come in handy, I guess.
handy.
And mine doesn't work anymore, but for those of you that do, I mean.
Sure.
Yeah, right. Talking about your phone, or what are you talking about? It's not working. I don't quite understand it.
That's bullshit.
Kid does not like it.
The kid does not like it. Let me give away some tickets to a really cool event. It is the premiere of a movie called The Gunman.
Yay!
Sean Penn. Kicking ass. When's the last time you saw a Sean Penn action film?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Idris Elba also stars. Javier Bardem. Good cast. Sean Penn is a former Special Forces soldier and military contractor who's suffering from PTSD and tries to reconnect with his long-lost love, but first has to go on the run from London to Barcelona in order to clear his name. The Gunman is in theaters everywhere on March the 20th. We've got passes to the premiere. That's March 12th at the Regal Cinemas LA Live. If you'd like to go, give me a call
we
right now.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
I don't believe we do.
He hasn't even said the number.
1-800-520-1067. First five callers at that phone number will get a pair of passes to go see the premiere of The Gunman.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
No, we will not get back to you. We will just talk to you after you call.
I would have ever said that.
I don't know why you would say
why
that.
Why would I have one time ever in my life said that?
We never get back
we've
to anybody.
We've never gotten back to people.
You don't call in and we get back to
you. It's not a part of the show. It never
we've
was.
We've never done that.
We never did a feature where you called and we got back to you?
Nope.
I don't know.
Today's celebrity birthdays, John Bon Jovi celebrates his 53rd birthday today. Nobody should look like that at 53, by the way. It's just unnatural. Yeah. Daniel Craig, James Bond himself, is 47. Method Man turns 44. Chris Martin works for a little band called Coldplay. He's 38 years old. Bryce Dallas Howard, Ron Howard's lovely and talented daughter. She's a great actress, 34 years old. Blake Anderson, Blake on the Workaholics, he is 31. And singer Becky G?
Oh, Becky G does good work.
Why does Dave have Becky G on my list?
She had a big hit last year called...
With?
What was it called?
That like, hit that was called...
Showers or something? I don't remember.
Yeah, it wasn't called Showers.
I don't remember what it was called.
You know what it wasn't called? Showers.
I'd be willing to put money down against Showers.
I don't know why that's the title that came to my mind.
Are you still holding out with Showers?
I don't think it's probably Showers.
All right.
I don't know what her song is. We'll find out and get it for you next hour.
No, we won't because we won't be needing her in the next hour because Becky G, who's 18 years old today, is dropping right off the mother effing list. I'm Ralph Garman.
Hey! Just looked it up.
Yeah?
Her big hit from last year was called Shower.
Oh!
See, you were wrong. You said
it
Showers.
It was called Shower.
Yeah, see, you were
that
way
was
wrong.
Her big hit.
You were
yes,
way
I was.
Wrong. You way said off. Showers.
Big hit over the summer,
couldn't
apparently.
Couldn't have been more off.
No, you were way off.
I'm stupid.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Very excited. How many years in a row we've been doing the April Fool's, just by the way? Is this
22.
Is this like 7, maybe?
I think doing? Maybe 7.
Wow. Very exciting. 1 hour from right now here on Carrick. Kevin Bacon on the program later on as well. First, TMZ.com is where we like to go on Monday mornings. Harvey's off this week. Our friend Dax Holt is on the phone. Hey, Dax. How are you, man?
Good morning, guys.
Is he doing People's Court? Is that where he is?
You know what? I don't even know where he is. To be honest, I have no clue.
Wow.
He just disappears.
But you know what? I've got even better news for you today.
Daddy just leaves. Yes, what?
Christina Milian is coming in to host.
Really?
Yes. Christina Milian will be here to host the show. So sorry, Harvey, but I'm not sad that you're
she's going to be so much better than Harvey. Let's be honest.
Well, listen, Dax, let's catch up on a couple of things. First of all, we were just laughing right before we came to you on the phone about this Justin Bieber video that you put up, which is 10 seconds long. That's the footage you got from the birthday party?
11 seconds long, gentlemen.
Oh, sorry.
It goes
sorry.
Like this. You can find me in the club. That's
but hey,
it.
It's not easy to get video when Justin Bieber's celebrating his 21st birthday on a private island in the Caribbean. So
yeah, I guess
feel
we
like
should
11
be...
seconds is pretty good.
It's yeah. more than we got, that's for
was
sure.
Was he holding a sparkler?
He was. Well, there were sparklers. There's him popping bottles. He's running around dancing with a champagne bottle in hand. So clearly, he's having a great time
yeah.
because now he's legally allowed to drink. We all know he's been drinking.
Thank
for
God
quite
he can drink,
time.
Right? Yeah.
But I'm just like, can you imagine your 21st birthday? You have a private island that you're celebrating.
Yeah.
On with
yeah.
You get all your friends to an island.
Yeah, there's that.
God. I mean, there's nothing that he had to look forward to for his 21st birthday that he hasn't already been doing since
right.
he was 15. I mean, literally the only thing that's different in his life now is I guess he could probably vote in Canada if he wanted to. But that's it. Everything else is the same, right? All right. Let's turn our attention to the controversy over Saturday Night Live over the weekend. Dakota Johnson was your host, of course. divorced co-star of 50 Shades of Grey, and the show got in a little bit of hot water. What happened next?
Okay, so they did a skit, if you remember the famous Toyota commercial from the Super Bowl, where the father drops the daughter off at the airport. It's like an emotional thing. She signed up to join the Army. He starts crying. You know, he's like, good luck. If you need anything, let me know. Well, they do the whole same skit, laying it out, and then she joins ISIS. And that's why she's getting out of the car to join ISIS.
Yeah. Yeah. And what are people saying about that? Are people thinking it's just too soon? It's too much of an ongoing war to be able to make fun of it now? Is that the complaint?
That's the thing. So a lot of people wrote SNL. They were like, I'm never watching your show again. I'm never watching anything else. Dakota Johnson's in. It wasn't funny. You guys shouldn't be joking about it. And then there's a lot of people saying, it's funny. It's a comedy show. Like, they're supposed to push the edge. They're supposed to make things that, you know, make you feel a little awkward sometimes. And so we put up a poll saying whether it was disgusting or funny. And it's pretty much split down the middle. Like, 112,000 people already voted. And 55% say disgusting, 45% say funny. But, I got to say, Taron Killam, who was one of the actors in it, he's proud of this. He defended the skit on Twitter, saying, look, it's freedom to mock, and that's one of our greatest weapons. And then he thanks the writers who asked not to be named.
I thought it was very funny, but it was startling because ISIS doesn't seem like a laughing matter at this point. I mean, when the fact is they're still in the mode of capturing and beheading Westerners, so it definitely cut close to home, that's for sure. But, I mean, it was a really funny parody. I mean, you're right. That's what SNL does, is they parody whatever's going on in the world. So I didn't have any problem with it, but it sure was a surprise to me, Dex.
I think it made me laugh, almost like the shock value of it made me laugh. Like, whoa, I can't believe they just did that. I thought it was funny, but I agree. I mean, they're such a horrible group that I think maybe that's part of the reason that it was kind of funny, is that no one, you would never think of that it would be a happy moment that you're taking your kid to join such a horrible, horrible organization.
Yeah.
And I think that's the ironic part of it.
And the dad says, take care of her.
And he says, death to America, back to them. All right, let's end on a supermodel story. You have follow-up on this Cindy Crawford photo controversy that I did not see coming.
No, so you know what? Yeah, when this photo of Cindy Crawford first came out from Marie Claire, Mexico, and her body doesn't look like the body that I think all of us are used to seeing Cindy Crawford, everyone applauded it, saying, great job, no Photoshop, Cindy, releasing that natural photo. Well, apparently that's not the case, that this photo was not supposed to be out. A lawyer for the photographer fired off a letter to pretty much all of these websites saying, take this down and issue an apology because this photo has been altered. Someone photoshopped it to make it look worse than it should have been, and I want you to take it all down.
Somebody stole the photo and photoshopped it so she looked worse.
But you know what? This happens all the time now.
It does?
Why?
Don't you remember the Justin Bieber, right after the photo of him posing for the Calvin Klein ad came out, someone photoshopped it to make him look like he was a lot skinnier.
Yeah, but that makes sense, because a lot of people hate Bieber and want to bring him down. Who hates Cindy Crawford? Like, why would anyone take Cindy Crawford and want her to look worse? I don't get it.
You know what? It was such a shocking photo to see it, and I think that's what they wanted to accomplish.
Huh. And meanwhile, you've got a picture up of her from, 2 weeks ago, where her stomach looks nothing like the Photoshop. Yeah, exactly. So,
and her husband took this one laying by the pool, and she looks fantastic. And, you know, I don't know, though. I mean, the other one was taken a couple of years ago, and, it's different between standing up and laying down. But, I mean, the top one I think is so shocking because that's not how you'd picture her at all.
Right, exactly. By the way, nothing wrong with the top one either. Cindy Crawford looks great in both of them.
Absolutely.
That's my opinion anyway. All right. Dax Holt on Twitter at Dax Holt, DAXHOLT, and of course TMZ.com. Look for them on the TV this afternoon all day long on Channel 11. I think every 30 minutes they just rerun the TMZ original show. TMZ Live airs at 4 on Fox Channel 11 and TMZ Hollywood Sports Monday through Friday at 3 on The Reels Channel. Dax, we enjoyed talking to you, man. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
It's going to be pretty awesome, by the way. Next Sunday, K-Rock Storms Bear Mountain with that band right there, The Offspring. Also, the Orwells are going to be there. DJ Jeremiah Red, if you want to go. Keep on listening for a chance to win lift tickets, and you can get all the details at krock.com. But that's a sweet weekend right there.
Yes, it is. Let's talk about Italian Dr. Sergio Canavero.
He's my hero. I love this guy. I love how he thinks. I love the direction he's headed. This is great news, you guys.
You can have a head transplant, is what this is.
Yes.
You can transplant somebody else's head on your body or your head on somebody else's body.
Look, think about all the people whose bodies have failed them, but their minds are still sharp. You don't think Stephen Hawking would love to get a new body? You don't think Stephen Hawking would love to be able to be the same person he is inside, with his same brain, his same personality, yet have a body that moves, that he can walk around in? Tell me that wouldn't be fantastic.
It would, but doesn't the other person have to give up their body?
Well, the other person's dead.
Come on, Kevin.
I don't know how it works.
It's like organ transplants. The other person dies, and then you take his body, and you pop it onto Stephen Hawking's head.
Kevin, did you think they were killing somebody?
No, I didn't think they were killing him. I just thought...
Well, how did you think it was going to work?
I don't know.
It's organ transplants. Well, anyway, other doctors say this is science fiction. It's a long ways away because obviously you've got to sever the spinal cord. And then the difficulty is how do you connect the spinal cord from the person's head to the spinal cord into the other person's body? How do you make that work? But we don't have to come up with those answers because the doctor himself, Sergio Canavieri, is on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. He's a modern day Victor Frankenstein. Hey, Dr. Canavieri, how are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Wow, is that a lab sound I hear or
That's
something
right.
else?
That's right, I'm here in the laboratory working on how to put a head on a body. But now, much like your friend Kevin there saying, how do I find a guy I want to give up his body?
You were surprised by that as well, doctor?
No, but it wants to give up their body. I keep running around asking the strangers, hey, you want to give up your body? They say, no, I'm going to keep up my body. I say, I fungul you special, hey, bye.
Whatever you said. So the spinal cord, that's the tough part, right?
That's the tricky part, is the spinal cord.
Uh-huh.
You see some mother humper, that spinal cord.
right, that's a medical term.
To get it put back together, you got to be really good.
Got to be really good, yeah. Now, apparently one approach you've talked about, doctor, is you use a super sharp blade to cut the spinal cords very cleanly so that the nerve fibers are easier to fuse together,
that's
right?
That's right. I go down to a Home Depot. I get me a brand new X-Acto knife, and I say, this is some sharp blade, baby.
I don't think you can do it with just that type of knife.
Oh, okay. Okay, doctor, who's going to give up the body? Why don't you tell me more about how to do a medicine?
I'm just saying.
You're telling a surgeon how to perform surgery right now, Kevin.
There's a doctor in front of my name.
That's true.
And I also thought this was interesting. After the surgery, you would keep the patient in a coma for several weeks so that he wouldn't move to interfere with the healing. That makes good sense to me, Doc.
That's all right. We don't want you dancing. We don't want you at twerking.
Right.
We want you to lay down and get better.
Uh-huh.
We just fuse your spinal cord, for God's sakes. What's the matter with you up and dancing around? Lay down, you stupid.
Does it bother you that a lot of other doctors disagree that this is not going to be around in a couple of short years?
Look, a lot of people, they look at a pioneer, right?
Uh-huh.
They say, oh, it cannot be done. Like David Copperfield. Make a motorcycle disappear. They say, oh, that cannot be done. He can do it. I saw it. I was in Las Vegas. I saw him do it.
It's a good comparison.
Right. It is a good comparison, except for the fact that that's just a trick. That's just an illusion. The motorcycle doesn't actually disappear. The audience just can't see it.
Oh. The heck you say?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. We are 30 minutes away from giving you the details on Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to be a good time.
It is. Hey, quick addition to the conversation we were just having about the head transplants. We're a little bit of a mess here this morning. Kevin thought that they were going to go out and kill people to steal bodies.
I think he thought people were going to donate their bodies while they were still living and then just be a head for a while and hang out and wait to get another body.
I'm not sure what goes on at Kevin's head. But I do know that
maybe he should sign up for the transplant list.
I need a new head. I know that.
I think that's the problem. Yeah.
I do know that listener Lindsay, thank you for writing to me, is way smarter than I am because she says Stephen Hawking, it wouldn't make any sense for Stephen Hawking to get a new body because his problem is a motor neuron disease. The part of the brain that controls motion, the signals to the body is what's damaged in his case with ALS. So a new body would not be any more effective for Stephen Hawking.
Because
the brain is the problem in that case.
Right.
So I'm dumb and you're dumb.
We're dumb and dumber. That's what we are. We are dumb and dumber. So thank you,
Lindsay. But
that doctor
said like he knew what
was
going
on.
He was
right on top
of
things.
Sharp.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah. I'm putting all my support behind that guy. And we didn't. The one thing we didn't get to in the article is the surgery is estimated to cost $13 million.
Chump change.
So maybe it's not on the horizon as much as we might like. Monday morning, Rob is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It is Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office, let you know what people went to see over the weekend. Focus was the number one movie that people wanted to check out. $19 million made it number one in its debut. Kingsman, The Secret Service was second. The SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, was third. 50 Shades of Grey hanging in at number four. Then The Lazarus Effect debuted at number five with $10 million. McFarlane USA, American Sniper, The Duff, Still Alice, and Hot Tub Time Machine 2 were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. There was some unexpected and saddening fallout over the weekend over the passing of Mr. Spock, legendary actor, Leonard Nimoy. His funeral was on Sunday. And William Shatner went public with his disappointment that he could not attend because he was already obligated to a fundraising event in Florida for the American Red Cross and would not be able to get it back in time for the services here in Los Angeles, flying back from Florida. Well, the internet exploded all over William Shatner, saying many horrible things to the 83-year-old actor. And I felt bad for him. I really did, because he got beat up not only on the internet, but even the New York Daily News on its front page on Sunday had the headline, Captain Jerk.
See, because that rhymes with Kirk.
It does. And he was given a lot of stick because he did not cancel his appearance with the Red Cross at the fundraiser and simply stay in Los Angeles for his friend's funeral. He tried to defend himself online, which is sometimes a lost cause, but he said, I feel really awful. Here I am doing charity work, and one of my dearest friends is being buried. But he said, let's spend some time tomorrow celebrating Leonard's life and remembering the man. And he did a big, long session on Twitter where fans got to ask him questions, and he talked about Leonard and all his memories of spending time with him. So I guess some good came out of it. But I felt bad for the guy.
I did too. And I thought it was unfair criticism because he's in Florida. And the funeral is, you know, on a Saturday night he's in Florida and the funeral is in Los Angeles on a Sunday morning.
Right.
It's not exactly his fault.
Right.
No, it's not like he didn't want to be there.
Some people said, well, you have a lot of money. You should get a private jet and you should fly yourself in a private jet and get there.
Okay.
Just an 83-year-old man.
That's a lot of a big part of it, too. He's not spry, and, you know, I mean, he's great, in great shape for an 83-year-old, but
sure.
And then people were taking it out on the Red Cross.
Yeah.
The Red Cross should have canceled.
Well, they do suck, the Red Cross, those bastards.
Horrible.
Those
horrible.
Selfish bastards, keeping all that blood for themselves. They just hoard it. They don't give it to anybody.
I think they do. I think
they
don't.
They bathe in it.
I don't think they bathe in it.
And they drink it. They're a bunch of vampires, freaking Red Cross. I hate them.
And Mrs. Shatner, his wife, and his daughter, they were both there representing the family.
Oh, they
the
could
funeral.
Get there. How come he couldn't be there?
Well, they were in L.A.
Oh, sure. How convenient. Hate him, Captain Jerk. Scotty was there. No, no, Scotty wasn't there.
No.
He's not around anymore.
No.
Scotty's with Mr. Nimoy.
Yeah. Look, if you know anything about Leonard Nimoy and his constant contributions to different charities, he probably would have wanted Shatner to be at the Red Cross thing anyway. So it'd be a nice way to honor his friend's memory. I was talking last week about Netflix and about how they are doing the Pee-wee Herman movie, the new Pee-wee Herman movie.
Right.
I got so excited. I read this email from Dean Gilotis. He wrote this in. He said, Ralph, I don't know if you know or not, but in the next Netflix Pee-wee movie, Pee-wee's Big Holiday, he will finally lose his virginity.
What?
Yeah, to his longtime love interest. Pee-wee Herman will hump Dottie.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Pee-wee Herman will hump Dottie. Pee-wee Herman will hump Dottie. Pee-wee Herman will hump Dottie.
Yeah!
Woo!
Woo! Oh, don't act like you're proud of that.
That feels good. Thank you, Dean, for sending me that little nugget.
Hey, can we get back to the funny?
All right. Get back to the funny. Today's celebrity birthday, singer John Bon Jovi is 53 years old today. Actor Daniel Craig, James Bond himself. He's getting beat up on this movie, Spectre, this new one he's shooting. Hurt his knee, hurt his head. It's hard out there for a secret agent.
How about a stuntman? How about doing that?
Nah. Real men don't use stuntmen.
Well, real men get hurt.
That's right. He's 47. Rapper and actor, excuse me, rapper and actor Method Man is 44. Coldplay singer Chris Martin is 38. Bryce Dallas Howard, the lovely and talented actress, is 34 years old. Blake Anderson, Blake from Workaholics, is 31. And Becky G, it's Becky G's birthday. Oh, I'm so happy for that we're celebrating Becky G's birthday. Of course, many of you are saying, who the F is Becky G? That's what I said this morning when Dave the King of Mexico put her name on my list.
Right.
But now we know. She's the white-hot artist who gave us the hit song Shower.
You light me up inside like the 4th of July. Whenever you're around, I always seem to smile. And people ask me how. Well, you're the reason why I'm dancing in the mirror and singing in the shower.
That's a wow. Wow, that blows. But that's not a permanent decision for the birthday list, is it?
Oh, yeah.
That apparently was
a shower. Oh.
That was a number 16 song from last spring, you guys.
Number 16 from last spring?
Yes.
Her career is as hot as ever. Let's go kick Dave the King Mixer right in the nads.
He deserves it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, 2015. Details in about 15 minutes. We'll tell you the date. We'll tell you the venue. We'll tell you the lineup. We'll give you the ticket information. And I think we have tickets to give away starting this morning, too. Am I wrong about that?
I don't know if you're wrong about that.
All right. We'll check with the king. Find out. That's coming up. Also, actor Kevin Bacon as well. First up, Kevin, I know you spend a lot of time with the PBS. About 50, 60% of the time, your TV is on at your house. It's on public broadcasting. I know that about you.
I don't get PBS.
With your, you receive it. You just don't get it, right?
I mean, it comes in. I just don't understand.
you know, with all of your Antique Roadshow, with your Downton Abbey, you get your Masterpiece Mystery.
Yeah,
I know
wow.
you can't get enough of PBS. Mm-hmm. Well, they're in a fundraising mode right now, and they pulled something out of the mothballs that that has not aired on TV since it originally aired in 1983. PBS this weekend aired the Motown 25 Yesterday, Today, Forever special. You guys know what this is, Motown 25?
This is where he did the moonwalk.
Yeah. Yeah. Michael Jackson was definitely one of the highlights, and he did pull out the moonwalk as he lip-synced to Billie Jean. But this was a show that was kind of celebrating 25 years of the Motown record label. Marvin Gaye made an appearance. Martha Reeves, Mary Wells, The Miracles, Smokey Robinson, Stevie Wonder.
It's got everything for me.
Diana Ross. Yeah, because you love all that old music. But, yeah, so PBS put it on this weekend, and they're trying to raise money by selling, you know, DVDs and whatnot for people to contribute. And as I mentioned, it hadn't been on TV since it aired. It was a huge hit at the time. And Michael Jackson, who was already one of the biggest stars in the world at the time, Thriller was already the number one album in America when this thing aired. He just amazed people. He did a reunited with his brothers for Jackson 5 medley. And then he did Billie Jean, and he did the famous Moonwalk. And that just blew people's minds.
And when you think about it, 47 million people tuned in 1983.
Yes.
That's 35% of TVs in the country. That's an insane number now, let alone 83.
No, you're absolutely right, Allie. And back then, of course, there was no internet. There was no YouTube. If you didn't see Michael Jackson moonwalk, you didn't see Michael Jackson moonwalk.
Right.
It's not like you could go to YouTube and watch it over and over and over again like we do now, or just see the vine of it. But, I mean, it was a dance move that had – he wasn't the first – he didn't create the moonwalk. It had been around for decades. But he was a superstar who did it on national TV, and it just became forever linked with him. But we wanted to find out what it's like for Michael Jackson to think back to the glory days of the Motown 25 special back in 1983 and reflect back on his long career. Allie, did you know we have a device called the Hotline to Heaven that we can actually dial up and talk to people who have passed?
I did know that, but every time I hear it, I'm more and more amazed that you guys have this technology.
It's kind of phenomenal technology. Yeah. So let's see if we can get Michael Jackson on the horn here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
Oh, it's a great connection. You sound terrific, Michael. How are you feeling?
I feel great. Thank you so much. Thanks so much. It's always a pleasure to check in with you guys back down there on Earth.
Have you had a chance to meet Mr. Nimoy yet?
I have. I saw him, and I said, live long and prosper.
Oh, that's nice.
Said, stop touching children.
So you guys just hit it off
we
right off the bat.
We hit it off right away. Yeah, we both know each other's catchphrases.
Right. So, Michael, you're hurt. You heard us talking about the Motown 25 special on PBS, part of their fundraising efforts this weekend. Did you know that they had re-aired that?
I did. We have DirecTV up here.
What?
Oh, how about that?
So I had PBS, and I'm a big supporter of PBS.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And I love Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Right.
I had it on a loop at the house for a
while. I bet you did.
Right.
Sure. Keeps everybody distracted.
Mm-hmm.
And so So I was happy that they were rerunning it.
Okay.
And that people got to enjoy my moonwalk again.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's the funny thing about this PBS special.
Okay. Yeah, tell us.
It reminded me of something that happened backstage.
Okay.
At that event.
Yeah.
And it's kind of juicy, and it's never been told before, but I'd like to say it now.
Oh, thank you.
You on this show.
Okay, okay.
Give you guys an exclusive.
Okay. What happened backstage?
Hi, this is Huell Hauser. We'll be right back with Michael Jackson's story after we talk about PBS.
No, wait a minute.
No.
Would you like to donate some money to PBS?
No, we want to talk to Michael. He was going to tell us a backstage story.
We'll get right back to Michael, but first,
How
about donating some money to your local PBS station?
Okay, fine. We'll donate. Can we have Michael back?
KCET, for example, has a great show called California Gold.
Okay.
It's amazing.
All right.
Have you ever seen a dog eat an avocado?
Okay. Joel, we don't have time for this. We really only have time to talk to Michael.
I've never seen a dog eat an avocado before.
Michael was going to give us a juicy story.
I love avocados.
Yes, we know
I'll
you
eat them
do,
right
Joel.
Off the tree. And especially when they're sort of unripe.
Right.
Makes my tummy ache a little bit.
Okay. Yes.
Then I have to make some California brown.
Huell. Oh, wow. Really? Huell. There's no potty humor in heaven.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. Look, can we talk to you another time? Can you give us Michael Jackson back?
Sure. For $200, I'll send you back to Michael Jackson.
Okay, fine.
For
fine.
For $300, you'll get a DVD of Motown's 25th anniversary show, and you get to talk to Michael Jackson again.
Okay, we just
want to $500, you and I can make some California gold together.
We'd rather not.
It's amazing.
Can we just have my, how much was it for just Michael?
$200.
All right, $200, fine.
Okay, what's your credit card
Put
number?
Put them on, I'm not going to.
Can we give it to you off the air, Huell? We're actually doing a radio show right now. That's why
I'm
time
sorry.
Is
We're
of the essence.
We're trying to raise money for PBS.
Got it.
PBS is amazing.
Oh, okay. It is. Right.
I'm so dead.
Yes, you are.
Ooh, 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 ooh. Tell me.
Hello, April Foolishness.
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Saturday, April 4th, the Shrine Auditorium. Gabriel Iglesias.
I am not a stripper, okay? I am an entertainer.
I'm like, no, I'm an entertainer. You're nasty.
I'm back.
Brad Williams.
I'm glad you guys like that joke. I have no idea why that joke is funny. I don't know if it's the actual joke or if you guys just look at me and go, it's a little guy jumping.
Hello, Miss Camel Toe. Okay,
Ralphie May.
Thank God it's April Foolish this time.
Adam Ray.
A lot of beautiful women in L.A., but, you know, sometimes you'll be driving in your car, you look out the window, you see a really hot girl, you're like, oh, man, she's hot. And upon further inspection, you realize, oh, man, she's a man.
Eliza Schlesinger.
Girls have a more insidious kind of crazy. Sometimes we'll start a fight with you just to see if we can make it look like you started the fight.
All the money goes to charity, so every comedian that comes out here is making nothing.
Jonah Ray.
Oh, that's not a thing you want to hear anyone say.
And.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Bowles.
This is Kate.
Of Tenacious D.
Tenacious D.
I'm gonna f*** you softly.
It's Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. House music by Mike Realm.
Tickets on sale Friday at noon.
Proceeds benefit Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU.
Details at krock.com.
Waka waka.
We have been trying since the first year to get Tenacious D.
And we got them. We got them. They are going to be on the bill for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015, which is going to be Saturday, April 4th at the Shrine Auditorium. Tenacious D, along with Gabriel Iglesias, the hilarious Ralphie May, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, no relation, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams, house music by Mike Rump. What a phenomenal lineup for year seven, you guys.
Not bad.
And it's funny because Ali said off the air, there's a female comedian. And I said off the air, we try to get a female comedian every year.
I did.
Why
would that?
Like, why wouldn't we? We approach all of the comedians and all the best ones. You know, we've been trying to get Amy Schumer since year one. There's a lot of people we've been trying to get, but this year we have Eliza Schlesinger, which is great.
She's great.
Allie, here's one thing you're going to learn about me is whenever I ask a woman to do something, the answer is always no.
Shocking.
And that's been the problem. That's been the problem. But look, we're super psyched to have Eliza on the show. We are super psyched to have Brad Williams back. He has taken some time off from the show. Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Ralphie May. Sounds like they all rhyme. Gabriel Iglesias and the great Tenacious D. It's going to be, again, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015 on Saturday, April 4th. A lot of information went by there pretty fast, like about you know, tickets or when they're on sale and all that kind of stuff. So I guess we're going to run it by them again as well.
Hello, April Foolishness.
Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Saturday, April 4th. The Shrine Auditorium. Gabriel Iglesias.
I am not a stripper, okay? I am an entertainer.
I'm like, no, I'm an entertainer. You're nasty.
I'm back.
Brad Williams.
I'm glad you guys like that joke. I have no idea why that joke is funny. I don't know if it's the actual joke or if you guys just look at me and go, it's a little guy jumping.
Hello, Miss Camel Toe, okay?
Ralphie May.
Thank God. It's April Foolish's time.
Adam Ray.
A lot of beautiful women in L.A., but, you know, sometimes you'll be driving in your car, you look out the window, you see a really hot girl, you're like, oh, man, she's hot. And upon further inspection, you realize, oh, man, she's a man.
Eliza Schlesinger.
Girls have a more insidious kind of crazy. Sometimes we'll start a fight with you just to see if we can make it look like you started the fight.
All the money goes to charity, so every comedian that comes out here is making nothing.
Jonah Ray.
Oh, that's not a thing you want to hear anyone say.
And.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Bowles.
This is Kate.
Of Tenacious D.
Tenacious D.
I'm gonna f*** you softly.
It's Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. House music by Mike Realm.
Tickets on sale Friday at noon.
Proceeds benefit Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU.
Details at krock.com.
Waka waka.
From Nick Alexander BMW. Remember, Nick can't say no. Just announced Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015, Saturday, April 4th at the Shrine Auditorium. If you're just tuning in because you're a slacker and you missed the announcement at 7:20, Tenacious D is playing with us this year. Also, Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy himself, Ralphie May, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams, house music by Mike Realm. You know, we didn't mention, but we should spotlight the great charities that are going to be benefited from Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness this year. They are Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU. Allie, I know that you have been to the Fisher Houses before. They do amazing work, don't they?
Amazing work. If people don't know, it's for family and friends of somebody, a soldier or a veteran that's going through surgeries, that type of thing. They will house the families and friends so they don't have to worry about that aspect.
It's like right
amazing.
Across the street from the hospital,
yes.
So they can be right there.
Sweet.
Yeah, you don't think about how difficult it is to and how expensive it is to stay in a hotel while somebody's undergoing treatment when you need to be nearby the hospital. And obviously, Cedars-Sinai NICU, we're always happy to work with them. They help sick babies. What else do you need to know about that? Tickets are as low as $25 for the back balcony, tough to say, at the Shrine. And the party bus section this year is $99, same as last year. That includes premier seating up close, VIP parking, and a one-hour party reception with the Kevin and Bean Show, plus a party bus t-shirt. Legally, we must mention, there is no actual bus in the party bus section.
There should be. We need to change that right now.
Right. So it is a party bus section, and you get all the stuff I just mentioned, but there is no actual bus. Tickets go on sale this Friday, March 6th at noon through Ticketmaster and all participating Ticketmaster outlets. Tickets are available nationwide, by the way, and you can buy them via major credit cards. Get all the details at krock.com. We'll look forward to seeing you at Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015.
Of all of us on the Kevin and Bean shows, whose Twitter should be shut down? That's right, Bean. That's correct.
How dare you?
And yet it was not.
Hi, Casey, girl who has her finger on the button. How are you?
Hello. Good morning. I'm great.
And well, not the finger on the button the way Allie does, the finger on the button the way you do, which is, in other words, if people try to swear, they can't get by you.
This is true.
Casey, you are experiencing a Twitter shutdown right now.
Yeah, I'm in Twitter jail.
This is such a surprise because I don't know what the rules are. My understanding is that if you are abusive on Twitter, you can be blocked. You know, the Twitter can drop you, I guess.
Right. Doesn't seem to happen.
No, it does not.
They don't seem to be catching
much. There'd be no comedians left on Twitter.
But they caught Casey.
Yeah.
What other ways did you guys think you could have your Twitter account suspended? If you're impersonating somebody else, maybe, yes. I guess, like if you're pretending to be a celebrity or something like that, and they complain.
That's
impersonation, right?
Harassment, nudity, death threats, pornography.
Oh, pornography, that's right. They don't, yeah, they don't be, allow, yeah, that. All right, so which of those sins did you commit, Casey?
None.
Pornography.
Right? No, I no boobs, no boobs. No, I spoke ill of the IRS.
You spoke ill of the IRS?
Yes.
What did you...
What was the exact tweet? Oh, gosh. I can't tell because... I know, I can't get it.
You're
locked
out.
No, but I mean, with tax season and everything, you know, you're filling out all your forms and whatever. And I was like, you know what? I have two dogs and they're expensive. I wonder if I can claim them as dependents. Just kind of joking, but kind of not.
Sure.
So I Google it, as one does, and it says no. And so on
so
Twitter,
right,
yes, I claim them both. It says, hey, if you spend more than $2,000 a year on a kid, I'm like, well, they're kind of like kids.
They're like my kids.
Yeah, they're like my kids. No, and so it said no. And so I tweeted that I Googled it. I tweeted that it said no. And then I tweeted, you know, sigh, like, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then F-U-I-R-S. But literally E-F-F-Y-O-U. IRS. No actual profanity.
Huh.
Nothing.
And
I didn't
at didn't
reply.
At
nope. Didn't
at IRS.
Nothing.
So someone
That's
is
weird.
Watching and seeing anything written about the IRS.
Apparently. And they didn't like it. And within about 5 minutes, I go to tweet something else. And it says my Twitter account has been suspended.
5 minutes.
Yeah. It was It was quick. It was like Friday. I was still here on the show. It was like Friday at like 9:27
a.m. So you didn't use the F word. You just spelled
no.
out EFF.
Correct.
Wow.
Didn't even at the IRS.
Nope.
She just wrote IRS.
I was just unhappy with the fact that I couldn't claim my dog.
I feel like a lot of people have that sentiment,
know, right?
Between
yeah,
now and April 15th.
Yeah.
And
by the way, millions of people every day tweet F this and F that.
With the actual word.
With
not
the
even like my censored, because I'm not so much actually one for swearing, but so I kind of BS swear.
But you did after that, though.
I am really right? surprised yeah, that they would catch IRS
me too.
Without it being an app. Because, I mean, anytime somebody tweets the word first, it has IRS in the middle of it. I mean, how would they even find that, you know? That's a real surprise to me.
Hang
all
on,
right,
let me
Casey.
Think. First.
IRS.
Okay, all right.
Is there any chance there was something else that got you Twitter suspended?
No. Because
that's the only thing it could possibly be.
Yeah, I took a picture of it, and, you know, screen grabbed it, whatever, and posted it to Facebook. And everybody goes, what else did you tweet about? I had tweeted something about something that Will Forte said on the show that morning.
Okay.
And then I tweeted something about we were playing two spots on the air that the voiceover guy had a lisp. And I was like, that's just not right. Why are you in radio and you have a lisp? Like, that's something that really bothers me.
Okay.
Those are the only two other things that I had tweeted that morning.
I think both of those are fine.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. That is such a surprise to me because, like, why would Twitter fight the government's fight? If the government was upset at you tweeting F the IRS, why would Twitter care?
I mean, the IRS already hates me, but...
Well,
of course,
this thing doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
Kevin,
no
remember
idea.
How many years in a row you got audited?
Yeah.
All right. Well, what can we do for Casey? How can we help her out? Because this. Oh, do we have the IRS hotline? All right. Let's dial them up because I can't imagine in a million years why they would object so strenuously to that they would have your Twitter account suspended.
And I'm still suspended. This was Friday. Still not back up.
Oh, nice.
That's good. Hold music.
Lovely music.
Hello, and thank you for calling the Internal Revenue Service Automated Helpline. If you're calling about local locations to obtain tax forms, press 1 now.
No.
If you're asking about a question involving the amount of tax or refund you're owed, play 2 now.
No.
If you've been blocked on Twitter for making disparaging comments about the IRS, press 3 now.
That must be a big category.
Yeah, sounds like a third.
Chances. Hello, Kevin.
What?
Are you looking into someone being blocked by the IRS? You know how often you've been audited? If you'd like just to let this all go, press 1 now. If you'd like to pursue this inquiry, press 2 now.
We would like to pursue. We'd like to find out more,
right.
I think.
Gutsy move, Kevin.
Oh.
Trying to deduct $30,000 in parking meters because they don't give receipts?
No, it's not about me.
Very clever. Gonna put a check mark next to that one.
Oh, come on.
We can continue talking about the IRS blocking people on Twitter, or we can just walk away now, Kevin. It's your choice.
I'd like to walk away now.
Press 1 to continue this conversation.
I'd like to walk away, B.
Hit, if you know what's good for
hit
you.
Hit 1, Kevin. We're trying to help out Casey here. This isn't about you. Get to the
bottom. You have some balls. $47,000 deducting watermelon Jolly Ranchers as a business expense?
Sounds
You're
about
going
right.
To jail, a-hole.
I don't get paid back for it.
You're going to jail, a-hole.
Uh-oh.
Hmm.
Nope.
Can I let it go?
Too late now.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Yeah, that's what it's from. No carbs.
Hey, Ali's a weirdo, first of all. Second of all, the star of Footloose and Apollo 13 and Hollow Man and X-Men First Class. How many great films has this guy been in? And great TV shows, too. Animal House. Animal House, goes back to Animal House. The guy's been a movie star forever. And he looks like he's 12.
He does. Yeah, it's not cool.
Bastard. Unbelievable. Flatliners, come on, with the Kevin Bacon. Anyway, he, of course, is the star of The Following on Fox. He'll be joining us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ruff's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday.
Does anybody wear anybody's face anymore over there? I haven't seen Following lately. They're all wearing the guy's face for a while,
I think,
right?
Joe Carroll is...
Joe Carroll's really dead this time, right?
No, he's in prison.
I think he's waiting to be killed, yeah.
Yeah, he's on death row.
Yeah. All right. We got to ask Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, we have to catch up. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Focus, the new Will Smith con man movie, did very well in its debut. Almost $20 million, made it number one. Kingsman: The Secret Service was number two with almost $12 million. The SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, continues to do very well. Hanging in at number three with $11 million. 50 Shades of Grey, $10 million, made it number four. Then The Lazarus Effect in its debut. The new Olivia Wilde, Mark Duplass horror film. Debuted with $10 million, made it number five. McFarlane USA, American Sniper, The Duff. Is that about the Ace of Cakes? The Duff, is that what
no,
that is?
No, that's Duff Goldman.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
think so.
Isn't that a movie? I thought maybe it was a movie about the guy who made cakes.
It should be.
I don't think so.
It's the Ace of Cakes. It's a card. Needs to be dealt with. He was at my show Friday, apparently.
The Ace of Cakes?
Rumor has it the Ace of Cakes was in the audience
what?
For Hollywood Babylon on
I
Friday.
I happen to know that he was.
What? You can confirm this?
I can confirm it because he sent me a DM, a direct message for you people not on Twitter hating me. The DM said, and I quote, "That show made me beep my pants," which I believe was a compliment.
Is that good?
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know if he has IBS.
Is he aware of Ralph's impression of...
I don't believe he is.
I don't think he is. Not even a little bit, actually.
It wasn't an impression so much as it was me just riffing on the name.
Sure.
Because he was the first cake show, I think.
It's hard to keep track.
I think he was the first show where they said, we're going to have a reality show about a guy making cakes.
Yeah, it was extreme cooking, right?
He's the cake boss.
No,
the ace of cakes.
Ace of cakes, yeah. Cake boss.
Cake boss came after that, right?
Or before.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Shows about baking.
I'm just saying. He was the ace of cakes. Whose car needs to be dealt with.
You're not allowed to make fun of the cooking shows. Aren't you the one who's into that Junior Chefs or whatever?
No!
I thought you liked that.
No, I liked Hell's Kitchen for a while. I was a regular Hell's Kitchen, but I didn't want to see kids cook.
Okay.
I wasn't interested in that.
Because that was apparently very popular.
Hugely popular. Coming back. Junior Master Chef or whatever it was.
I think
called.
That's it, yeah.
Anyway, The Duff is not about the ace of cakes, we found out. Still Alice was ninth, and then Hot Tub Time Machine 2, rounding out your top 10 at the box office. There is a Bruce Lee biopic in the works. That's a story I'd like to see told.
Yeah, I think so, too.
They did one a while back called Dragon, I think, the Bruce Lee story, if I'm not mistaken. That was okay. It was pretty well done. But I think there's still more story to tell there. This is the official version that's being backed by the family. Apparently, Shannon Lee, Bruce's daughter, has gotten in front of this new biography of her dad because there are some other projects apparently in the works that don't have the backing of his estate, and she wants this one to be front and center. Understandable. They're also, remaking a movie called Brewster's Millions. Remember this with Richard Pryor many years ago?
I don't remember Brewster's Millions.
I remember the name.
It was a story of a guy, I believe John Candy co-starred with him in that film. Story of a guy who inherits $1 million. No, I'm sorry. In this updated version, it'll be $1 billion.
Okay.
But he has to spend $100 million in a week in order to keep the $1 billion, or else he loses everything.
It doesn't sound hard.
You wouldn't think, but it's actually very hard. And that's the premise of the movie. And it's actually hard to spend that much money. And he can't give it away. That's the thing.
Okay.
He can only spend it on stuff.
You could buy one house in L.A. for $100 million.
That's true. You could.
But at the time that movie was made in the 70s, you'd have to buy a lot of houses to make $100 million.
Yeah, I think it was like $100 million, and he had to spend $1 million in a week or something like that. Anyway, they are remaking it. But I did not know this story has been made into a movie 10 times.
What?
This will be the 10th version of this story. Apparently, it was a novel from 1902. That was the premise, and it's been made a movie 10 times, including this new one.
Yes.
This is cool news. The Supergirl series that's going to be on CBS. They've announced some new cast members, Helen Slater and Dean Cain.
But they, wait a
See
second.
See what they did there?
Because
they both have a relationship with the Man of Steel. Helen Slater, of course, played Supergirl in the 1984 film of the same name. And Dean Cain was famously Superman on Lois and Clark, The Adventures of Superman. No word on who they'll play, but it's cool that they got a gig. It's nice when they give the old-timers a little something-something.
Sure. Agree.
Like on Flash, the guy who plays his dad was the Flash from the 90s TV series, which is very cool. And Kanye West is sorry.
Now what?
On Thursday, he tweeted apologies to Beck. I would like to publicly apologize to Beck, he tweeted. I'm sorry, Beck.
That does not...
Very eloquent.
It was very... Well, he's a creative genius.
That does not sound like much of an apology.
He just makes poetry, doesn't he?
He does. And he also apologized to Bruno Mars. He tweeted, I also want to publicly apologize to Bruno Mars. I used to hate on him, but I really respect what he does as an artist. So there you go. We good?
I feel better.
Everybody good?
Yeah. I think we're all good.
All right. And congratulations to ABC Family Series Baby Daddy, which is coming back for a fifth season. Now you're just making up names of TV shows. There's no real Baby Daddy show for five seasons.
I've
How
never
does that
heard
exist?
Of it.
How does that on television for five seasons? I've never heard of it once. Baby Daddy.
It does seem like if it's on TV for that long, one of us would have heard of it.
I would have heard of it. I wouldn't have seen it.
Right.
But I would have heard, oh, Baby Daddy's on tonight. I would have caught that news somehow. Baby Daddy.
Fifth season.
Meanwhile, Melissa and Joey is wrapping up after four seasons on that same network. Melissa and Joey. You heard me. There was a show called Melissa and Joey.
I don't know that one either.
It was Melissa Joan Hart and Joey Lawrence, and they were on a TV show together. And it was called Melissa and Joey.
And what fantasy network
this
is this?
This all happened on ABC Family.
ABC Family.
Is it possible we all have DirecTV and we don't get ABC Family? Is that not on DirecTV?
It's absolutely on DirecTV. Oh. It's one of the basic channels.
I don't have DirecTV, and I know.
Never heard of it.
No ABC right. Family?
No.
I'm right. guessing it's for...
It's not for us.
Families. But we all have families.
Yeah, I know.
I understand it.
I don't know.
Anyway, congratulations, cast of Baby Daddy.
If it's real.
If you are, in fact, a real TV show.
Good work.
Gosh, I'm looking at their lineup. They got Switched at Birth is a show.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
It isn't.
Switched the at Fosters
birth,
yeah. is a show.
Oh, the Fosters.
Chasing Life is a show.
Chasing Life.
There's your...
I think Erin Dungey's on Chasing Life.
She
I think
did
she
say
is.
That yesterday.
Oh, that's right. That's the show she's on. I remember thinking at the time when she said that. I went, Chasing
yeah, she
Life.
Said she plays a doctor.
What the hell show is Chasing Life? But I didn't want to ask her to her face.
They also have a show called The Nine Lives of Chloe King. That's
Will you
another
stop
show?
Making things up? Okay, you know what my first show is there? Spring Sharpie. I'm just looking at two things in front of me. There's a Sharpie and there's a spring in front of me. So now I'm going to say they have a show called Spring Sharpie. If we're playing this game, I can play this game.
It's your George class.
I don't know what to tell you, but that's apparently a real network.
How about that?
I love baseball cap paper. That's another great show they have.
It's not as good as the Fosters.
No Fosters.
That's
Fosters.
About a bear or something, right?
We don't know what it's about.
Fosters is about a bear.
They live near bears?
It's about a bear. I'll give you $100 if the Fosters is about a bear.
It says it's a one-hour drama about a multi-ethnic family mix of foster and biological kids being raised by two moms. It doesn't say anything about a bear.
Two moms and a bear.
And a bear.
Yeah, the
and
bear
a crazy
is...
next-door neighbor is a bear.
Yeah, the bear lives next door. Bear adjacent.
Tell those kids to keep it down.
I would watch the show if the next door neighbor was a bear.
If there was a bear, I'm there. Fosters.
We got to get up to speed on ABC Family, man.
Today's celebrity birthday is John Bon Jovi. I didn't sleep at all last night.
Yeah.
John Bon Jovi is 53 years old today. Daniel Craig, James Bond himself, is 47. His new movie, Spectre, in the works currently about James Bond and a bear. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be awesome. Bond.
I don't think that's true.
Method Man's 44 years old. Chris Martin, singer of Coldplay, is 38 years old. Bryce Dallas Howard is 34. Blake Anderson, who coincidentally plays Blake on The Workaholics. As if the role was written for him.
Yes.
31 years old today. And singer Becky G. Becky G's 18. Come on with the Becky G.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress.
No.
I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh.
Becky's
I've been
good.
Working so hard, yeah, time and a half.
Go. Flying down the rapids, my heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can make love last.
That is spectacularly awkward.
Becky G does good work.
Here's Becky G.
You light me up inside like a 4th of July. Whenever you're around, I always seem to smile.
does the bear drop his verse?
I have no idea. Becky G currently starring on Gray Shag Carpet on ABC Family. Check it out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show of his beat.
Hey, don't forget, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015 announced for Saturday, April 4th at the Shrine Auditorium. Great lineup. All the details at KROQ.com if you want to check that out. You know, we were just talking about the return of the following. Finally coming back on Fox for Season 3 tonight. Kevin Bacon's on the line. What was the body count on the first two seasons of that show, Kevin, do you imagine?
2,000.
It must have been Kevin Bacon. How many people did you kill on your show in the first two seasons?
I don't know. I can tell you that there is in the production offices. There's kind of like a wall of death. You know, and honestly, it's like you kind of have to keep it straight. And another thing that we do is that after every time someone dies, they do a crime scene photo just on the off chance that it's going to come up later on.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's always a photographer on set and the poor, you know, actors that, you know, spent all day, you know, lying in a pool of blood or, you know, are finally like, you know, about to go home and they say, oh, you just got to lie there for another 10 minutes while we do the crime.
Ah, showbiz, huh?
Now, I remember when we've talked to you every season, Kevin. You're always very kind to come on the Kevin Bean Show. We really appreciate it. But I remember you telling us that you guys did a lot of investigation, worked closely with actual FBI and police and things like that to try to make it as realistic as possible. But there can't be ever this many serial killers going on at one time. Serial killers are very few and far between in the real world, right?
I don't know. I think that we had a statistic maybe in the first season where they said there were something like 500 active serial killers at any given moment. I could be making that up.
I hope you are. I hope you are too.
Yeah, but you know, this is where my head goes, and I don't actually know what the statistics are, but you know, it's a TV show.
I think I love your character the most because you're so great and you're so flawed at the same time.
He's a very flawed man. I really wanted him to be, you know, I didn't really know how to play somebody that didn't make mistakes. You know, I think it's important that he makes mistakes. He makes mistakes in his personal life. He makes mistakes in his career. You know, he's struggling with addiction issues that's what makes an interesting character for me to play, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like, and I don't know anything about this real world, Kevin, but I feel like it would be realistic for somebody in that line of work to just have trouble navigating through the regular world and to have relationships with regular people who aren't crazy. Because I think, just like any police officer, I think you're just so used to looking for the worst in the world every day when you get up and go to work.
Well, that's something that we actually are trying to deal with this season. One aspect is that I felt like it was important. You mentioned all the body count in the first two seasons. I felt like it was important that the character is kind of haunted by the blood that's on his hands from everything that he's seen and all the stuff he's been involved with. And the other aspect of it is that he's finally in a relationship with a woman who is the right woman for him. You know, he's had some bad. You know, he was with the wife of the serial killer. He was with a tabloid journalist. He was with his next-door neighbor who ended up stabbing him multiple times. I mean,
they do.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't have a good picker, this guy.
Right.
But finally, he's with this doctor who has nothing to do with the case, has nothing to do with Joe Carroll, had nothing to do with the FBI. And you're seeing him struggling trying to keep this relationship together and trying to keep his work separate from his home life.
Now, the main bad guy, Joe Carroll, the character, for season one and season two, you have quite a love-hate relationship with him, and he's playing like a yo-yo. He's not dead. He's on death row, right?
He's on death row, and he's got no communication with the outside world, so it sort of begs the question whether or not this recent round of killings is somehow associated with him, or is it a threat that's even bigger than Joe himself?
And by the way, he's famous for escaping prison, so it doesn't necessarily mean we've seen the last of him either, right?
You haven't seen the last of him. Let's put it that way.
Okay, all right. We're on the phone with Kevin Bacon talking about the return of the following. It's been gone for, geez, almost 11 months, I want to say. It's coming back tonight at 9, a two-hour season premiere on Fox. Do you like the character of Ryan Hardy? I know you like playing him. He's a fun character to play. But are you able to find a way to like the guy as well, Kevin?
I think that, I've been asked that before. I suppose, like if you're trying to inhabit somebody, you know, there's things I like about myself and things I don't like about myself, you know. And I think that's really kind of what I feel with all of my characters, you know. I mean, I think that all of us have some little piece of moments of self-loathing and then moments of feeling, you know, pretty good about who you are and what you're doing. So I think he falls somewhere in that area. But I don't find that, like, people say, oh, you really got to like the guy in order to play him. That's not really the case. I think that it's more about, my whole theory is that you want to lose yourself and use yourself. So you want to lose yourself in the skin of the person that you're playing and really feel like you're walking in their shoes, but you also want to use yourself, you know. You use your experience and your emotional connections to things and find some kind of a balance there.
Where do you film The Following?
We filmed it in New York City.
Now, the reason I ask that is, was it almost, I don't know what the time frame was that you shot this season, but I mean, did you catch any of that snow? Did you have to work out in that weather?
Oh, yeah, we're working right in it right now. I mean, I'm actually having a break from the snow because I'm doing press today, but the crew is up in a state park, knee-deep in it, and we got a bunch of more snow last night. It's the snow. It's also like the single-digit temperatures have been really hard. It's a real challenge. It's a real challenge to shoot here in New York, but there's also a tremendous amount of stuff being shot in the city, more so than I've ever seen. And I'm a New Yorker, so
all right.
I get to sleep in my own bed. Most of the cast is not, so I feel a kind of responsibility to them, you know, and a lot of, I mean, you know, James Purefoy, who plays Joe Carroll.
He's so great.
Just, he had his family, his wife, and his new baby here, and he's like, I'm getting out of here, I'm going to Miami. So I think he's in Miami right now, getting a little break.
It hasn't been Boston bad, but it's been a crazy bad winter in New York, right?
I was with my octogenarian in-laws this weekend, and I said, you know, well, this is the coldest February in 80 years, and they said, so we've seen worse.
The Following returns tonight for a 2-hour season premiere on Fox. It's going to be great. 9 o'clock. Always a pleasure to catch up with you. You're doing great work on the TV, man, and we always enjoy talking to you. Thank you, sir.
I really appreciate the support, guys. Thanks a lot.
This was a great story after Valentine's Day weekend in South Carolina. A woman was arrested after she threatened to shoot her boyfriend, who fell asleep after spurning her sexual advances. So Valentine's Day weekend, she's all frisky. Michelle Smart, 29 years old. She's, you know, poking at him, trying to get a little action for the holiday. And
you have to poke to get action.
He's pushing her away, saying, tired, got to sleep. She pulls a gun on him, threatens to shoot him. That is not the outcome of a Valentine's Day weekend.
You put out right now.
You're going to get an erection and you're going to like it.
I saw that on The Sopranos once, right? Where I think one of the dudes was pointing a gun to the back of her head. Yeah, that seems right.
Yeah, but that was a dude to her. She's doing it to him on.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a surprise. So we saw that story. We thought, well, that's a bad deal. That's not the way to handle rebuffed sexual advances, either direction. But then it got us to thinking about the last time you had a gun pulled on you. And I'm certain that the Kevin Bean audience has had guns pulled on them before. And we want to hear the stories at 1-800-520-1067. I mean, just looking at the small number of people that work here on this show. Kevin, you've had a gun pulled on you.
Yes, I have.
Dave, you've had a gun pulled on you.
Of course.
I was very close to having a gun pulled on me. If the guy who was robbing the 7-Eleven at the time had known I was in the store, I would have had a gun pulled on me, but I managed to avoid it by hiding in the back and drinking a chocolate milk. But
yeah.
Kevin, what happened to you?
You're a hero.
What?
What happened to me?
Yeah.
I was toilet papering a house, and it was, you know, the middle of the night, and I didn't see the guy. I felt the gun on my head.
Oh man.
How old were you?
I was probably a
junior. This was August.
I was probably a junior in high school.
Okay.
But I was holding a roll of toilet paper, and I hear the neighbor, it turns out, to say, what are you doing?
Wow. Scary.
And so I was scared to death, but I was also angry about the fact that he can tell what we're doing. Why does he have a gun to my head?
I don't think it was rhetorical. I think he was trying to freak you out.
He was. So I said, with a little bit of anger, because I shouldn't have a gun to my head over toilet paper. I said, toilet papering the house? Like, like, idiot, don't you see what's happening here? And he said, get
I love
out.
That you're in the I wrong, know, though, and you're giving him attitude.
Yeah. I know. I was a dick.
Yeah, but you weren't afraid that you were going to get shot.
But
though,
he,
right?
He put the gun to my head. Is that necessary? I'm holding a roll of toilet paper.
It's not necessary.
Take it easy.
No, that's an extreme overreaction. However, you never toilet papered his house again.
That's correct. It was his neighbor's. It was actually his neighbor. It wasn't even his house.
Imagine if it was his house, Kevin.
Then we went back and did his house.
Hey, you got a gun pulled?
Yeah. In high school as well, we were walking to my buddy's house late at night. A car pulls up, lowers a window. A gun comes out and says, give me your wallet. Give me your watch. And I say, my watch sucks, and there's nothing in my wallet, so here you go.
And you gave him the finger, and you ran.
The window rolled up, backed out, and took it away. And I was like, woohoo!
So you got robbed at gunpoint.
I didn't get robbed because they didn't take it. But like, I literally had a cheap watch on, and I think the people doing
How do they mark you as the guy that they're going to pull over and get the watch?
Yeah,
come on,
man! It's like
you're not exactly Mr. Flashy.
No, not at all. I told you the watch was really crappy, so I'm glad I had a crappy watch because they didn't care for it.
Right?
So, you know.
And they bought that you didn't have any money, so they just drove on.
But I'm glad they bought it because I didn't have any money. Yeah. I was a kid, I was a stupid high school kid walking around late at night. So,
So Dave, after you have a gun pulled on you, did that like wig you out? Were you like shaking for a day or anything like that?
To be honest,
of the trauma.
I mean, I didn't walk the streets for. You know, because I used to walk everywhere in high school. I didn't walk around for a couple of months.
Dave was a street hooker. A lot of people don't know.
No, but it's funny. I say, you know, he pulled back out and took off, but it felt like forever because, obviously we're trembling, me and my buddy. Just
of course,
I don't know how I just didn't say here and throw everything at them. And that was
and
the
just
first
faint.
Thing. Yeah, that was.
If you were beaten, you just would have fainted.
Let's take Erin just real quick. She's on line two, Newport Beach. I feel like, I don't know why, if this is my misconception, but I wasn't expecting too many ladies to be calling with guns pulled at them.
Come on.
But apparently that happened to Erin. Hi, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hi. What happened?
So this was a few years ago in college. A group of friends and I were playing basketball like a local park by our university. It's maybe 9 o'clock or so. And all of a sudden we hear engines like revving, you know, like car engines, and we hear, put your hands up, don't turn around. We're like, what? So of course we turn around, and there's four cops, you know, two cop cars pulled up on the grass behind us, and then two more in front of us at a local park. And mind you, we're all from like a local Christian university, like down the street.
Dude, we're just playing basketball.
It was like a group of like five white kids. And apparently they thought we were part of a drug deal that was going on. And while they had guns drawn at us, another car, like, sped out from the parking lot that was actually the one doing the drug deal.
So you went, nice geniuses, go after them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dude, that's still scary, though. Thanks for the call, and I appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. You had a gun pulled on you. We want to hear your story next on K-Rock.
A surprise, most of our listeners have had a gun pulled on them.
Yep. It's our people. Hey, 1-800-520-1067, that's the telephone number. We are talking about that. You had a gun pulled on you. Michelle Smart, 29-year-old in South Carolina, pulled a gun on her boyfriend Valentine's Day weekend when he refused her sexual advances. That's going to be his story that he's calling into the Morning Chucklehead Show there in South Carolina. But we want to hear yours right now. Why don't we start with, we got some good ones here, don't we? Let's start with Johnny in Costa Mesa. He's on line six to get us going here on K-Rock.
Hey, Johnny.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
You tell us.
So when I was about probably 18 or 19 years old, I got a job at Blockbuster in Aliso Viejo right out of high school and was working Super Bowl Sunday. Some guy walks in 5 minutes to midnight, goes, what time do you guys close at? Told him midnight. He walks out. 2 minutes later, a guy in a ski mask walks in with a gun in my face.
Wearing the same clothes?
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
You freaked out?
Oh, I freaked out. My hands flew into the air. He screamed, put your hands back down. My manager was, like, trying to hide behind a desk. He's like, where's your manager? I pointed him out right away. I was like, he's right there.
Good for you. That guy right there hiding. So,
how much do you get if you robbed a Blockbuster video store back in the day? What's your take?
Well, that day there was nothing because he came in Super Bowl Sunday, so no one came to rent movies.
Ah.
He probably had about $300-$400 in the safe, which my manager told him. tried to get the guy just to walk out the door. The guy then started asking for Xboxes, which we didn't have because Christmas had just passed. So,
this guy's a fail on every level.
He was terrible at his job.
I wonder if it was the guy that asked how much longer they'd be open.
Well,
I wasn't sure if it was him or like that was his accomplice coming to check for him because the guy that asked was a little shorter.
Okay.
I was kidding. Right. Wow.
They were a team.
All right. How about that? Yeah. Nice. All right. Let me ask you this question. Thank you for calling, Jenny. But let me ask you this. Do you quit that job as a result of being robbed at gunpoint, or are you a brave enough guy that you show back up the next day?
Well, shortly after that, the manager ran out and left me alone in the store with the gun robber. So I quit as soon as I was able to run out.
You quit. At gunpoint twice?
Well, no. It was the same time, and somehow the manager managed to run out.
Oh, I see.
And then later on, I managed to run out, and shortly after the police showed up, my store manager showed up. I walked up to him and said, hey, I quit.
Yeah. I think you made the right choice. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. All right. Let's go to Michael. He's in Montebello. He's on line three. He gets a gun pulled on him as a kid.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
Hey, as a kid, somebody points a gun at you. Dude, what happened?
Well, not somebody. Okay, I was 16. The only thing I ever wanted was a BB gun.
Right.
It was me, my brother, and my cousin. So I begged my mom, you know, we're 16, you know, please trust us. So she buys it, you know, me and my cousin and my brother BB guns for my birthday. That night, we're on the side of the house and we're shooting cans with the BB gun because that's what kids do.
That's what you do, right?
Yes. Now, we decided to go a little bit more extreme. So we're running around the street chasing cats.
Oh, uncool. Uncool.
Yeah. We weren't trying to hurt them. We were just trying to see some moving target practice. So anyways, I guess someone on the neighborhood saw us, so they decided to call the cops.
Sweet.
So about 20 minutes later from being inside, big pound at the door. So I get up. I'm 16. I open the door. As soon as I open the door, shotgun to my face.
Oh, man. No fooling around.
No shotgun to my face.
And was it a cat?
I wish it was a cat. And cops run into the house. You know, my brother's sitting there playing video games, you know, guns to his face. They have heavy artillery. We're not talking their side weapons.
Please tell me that they took your BB guns.
Oh, well, no, they couldn't because, you know. But the very next day, my mom gets up and says, give me those effing things, and they're going back to the store.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they got taken away, you know. I mean, they had heavy artillery to me. I was 16, my cousin was 16, and my brother was 14. And my mom, they had us laid out on the floor in our living room, you know.
Good times.
Great times.
Wow. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that.
Should have stuck with the cans, I'm thinking.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Let's go to Upland, our man Justin. You're not going to believe why somebody pulled a gun on him. He's on line five.
Hey, Justin.
Yo, what it do, nephew?
Hi there. Somebody pulled a gun on you. Why? How?
Yeah, so I was driving with one of my buddies, and we had taken a traffic cone, one of those big orange ones, and using it as a megaphone to, like, yell at people on the street.
Right.
Well, we drove up to this guy. It was at night in, like, Riverside. And he had a really pretty girl in his car. My buddy was like, oh, that girl's hot. So I put the phone out the window. I said, hey, your girlfriend has nice boobies. So he looked back at me, and, like, he reached down in his pocket or something and pointed a gun at us. And I looked at my buddy and said, oh, crap, is he pointing a gun at us? And he was like, yeah, I think so. So I very slowly put the traffic cone back in, and my buddy had one of those little, like, he actually had to roll up the window, you know? So I was, like, rolling it up all slowly, all scared, and I just kind of looked forward. I didn't know what to do, you know?
Right. And so
I will tell you that rolling up a window will prevent you from getting hit by a bullet. So that was quick thinking.
That's a well-known fact.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to John Hacienda Heights. He's on line seven. His story involves the Federales, you guys.
Oh, good. Oh. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you doing?
The Federales.
Yeah, we were down, you know, this is probably back in the 90s. We were hanging out with some friends, and we went to a bar down in Rosarito. And we'd been drinking all day, so we're hanging out there. And next thing we know, Federales come into the bar, and then they lock the doors behind them.
Oh, no.
Never.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Not and good.
So they get us all up on the pool table. My girlfriend, well, my wife now, but that girlfriend at the time, she's arguing with them because a couple of these guys look like they're about 14 years old. You know, they're just young kids. So they're going through all of our stuff, and apparently what happened was, somebody had reported that somebody was in there with a gun and ended up being this guy that was sitting at the bar that looked like he was straight out of Miami Vice, you know, just a white suit and everything. And as soon as they found out that he had the gun, all the guns pointed at him, and it was kind of like, you know, they forgot all about us. They took him away. And
wait a minute. So, the guy in Mexico with the gun was wearing a white suit.
Yes.
Not.
Yeah, he was just sitting at the bar. I mean, we really, besides us, he was the only guy in there. And, you know, they just went after the loud Americans instead of the quiet guy just sitting there at the bar, minding his own business.
In a white suit.
Yeah. I bet about 50% of the tourists who go to Mexico get a gun pulled on. Would you guys say that's about right?
Yeah. 50, 60, yeah. That's a good solid number. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:51.
That song is so awesome and catchy. My buddy Randy, that's his favorite song.
Oh, good.
Randy.
It's good to know. It's good
to
hear that.
I trust Randy's opinion.
I wanted Randy to like it.
All the details you missed this morning if you weren't with us for the announcement of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015. Got that for you coming up right after the top of the hour. If you can't wait, please go to KRock.com to get caught up. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Before I get to the new Showbiz Beat, I have some apologies and some corrections to make about the old Showbiz Beat.
Okay.
A little old business to take care of?
Let's get this out of the way. We're talking about Brewster's Millions.
Yes.
The movie that has just been greenlit for yet another reincarnation. 10 times they've made this story into a movie. We were talking about the Richard Pryor version, and I was a little foggy on the details of how he has to spend his $100 million in order to inherit $1 billion.
Right.
He's got a week to spend $100 million. But the catch is, he can have nothing to show for it.
Oh, nothing to show for it. He can't buy a house or
cars.
Can't
buy a car. He has to waste it. He has to waste $100 million in a week.
Could he
in
just
order
light
to
it on
inherit
fire?
$1 billion. No, you can't destroy the money.
Huh. You have to spend it.
You have to spend it. But it has to be wasteful spending. You can't have anything to show for it.
So you could go and gamble it away in Las Vegas as long as you didn't win.
Yeah, right, but if you win, and if I remember the movie correctly, he does, and it really doubles his problem because he wins.
That's just poor guy.
And the premise is apparently that I forget if it's his uncle or whoever bequeaths him this money, is that to teach him, to get him so sick of wasting the money, of spending it foolishly, that it will teach him an important lesson so he'll be able to use the money wisely once he actually inherits it.
Seems like an expensive lesson, but okay.
Well, when you get that kind of coin, you can be weird with your lessons. So that's how it works. So that's clears that up.
Okay, good.
Secondly, got a little tongue lashing from a young lady named Maren Dungey.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
No. We just
and I don't mean that in the best possible way.
We just made friends with her on Friday.
I know, and we're running
what?
Afoul. We're running afoul of her already. Because she's on a TV show called Chasing Life on the ABC Family Channel.
Right.
And so Maren reached out to me and schooled me a little bit about this program, which apparently is an excellent, excellent television program.
Well, you didn't say anything bad about it. You just said you weren't familiar with it until Maren told you she was on it.
And Maren would like to correct that by saying that it's on tonight at 9 p.m. on the ABC Family Channel.
Okay.
Tonight at 9 p.m., Chasing Life. She says it's a story of a hot girl with cancer, and it has a lesbian storyline. What more do you need?
Well,
bears. I guess I could do without the cancer.
I can do with the bears.
There's no bears, Allie. Let the bears go.
There's not a bear in that show.
Allie is convinced that somebody on that show lives next door to a bear.
Like somebody on ABC Family has a bear. We're not sure who it is. But Italia Ricci apparently is the young girl who stars on that show. And Maren, of course, is also on it. So give it a shot tonight, Monday night, 9 p.m., ABC Family, Chasing Life. Check it out. I'm sure you'll be a better person for it.
Okay.
All right.
So are we square with Maren
everybody
now?
Everybody feel good? I think so.
Okay.
I think we're good. By the way, that Italia Ricci.
Yeah.
Good
deal. Good deal.
Maybe we should have her and talk about some bears or whatever it is. The bear has cancer?
I don't think
I'm
the
confused.
Bear. It's not
in it. She is engaged to Stephen Amell.
Oh, from Arrow.
So they're an ugly couple.
Or Robbie Amell.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Both Steven's Kings Arrow. Fans.
Yeah, both they're both Kings brothers. Fans. Yeah, both they're cousins, I think. The two of them.
Cousins. Hmm. Bears.
One of the bears.
One of them's a bear. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. It is Monday. Focus did very well for itself, $19 million. Do me a favor, someone in the office, look to see who Italia Ricci is engaged to, so I don't have to correct this Showbiz Beat and the next Showbiz Beat.
Really have so much time. Special.
It's one of the ML boys. It's either Steven or
close enough.
Or Robbie. It isn't close, really. I should get it right.
Okay.
Robbie.
Is it Robbie?
Yes.
Right, thank
Robbie
you.
Knows.
Robbie. He, of course, is on The Flash as half of Firestorm. Okay? All right? We all good?
Got it.
Got it. Focus, number one at the box office this weekend, $20 million made it so. Kingsman, The Secret Service was number two. SpongeBob SquarePants, still a huge hit. It's about a little sponge who wears pants.
It is.
And they're square.
Yeah.
And he's a movie star.
That's true.
Number three at the box office. 50 Shades of Grey was fourth, and The Lazarus Effect, the new Olivia Wilde, Mark Duplass film, fifth. McFarlane USA, sixth. Super Sniper. Nope. American Sniper.
Where did Super Sniper come from?
Imagine I get any sleep last night. I'm a little goofy.
How does Super Sniper even come to your mind?
Because I looked at Sniper, and the word Super, Sniper turned into Super.
All right.
Right in front of my eyes. And then I saw, nope, Sniper. And so Super was already out of my mouth, and then Sniper followed.
You've been watching too many comic book movies.
Oh, wouldn't Super Sniper be an awesome superhero?
Like it would be.
It'd be the best. The Duff was eighth. Still Alice, ninth. Hot Tub Time Machine was second at the box office. Over the weekend.
You just said second.
Oh, did I? Hot Tub Time Machine 2. Two.
Yeah.
Was 10.
Okay.
Okay.
You sure was it Super Hot Tub Time Machine?
How great would that be? I really didn't sleep at all last night.
You're going to have to use the entire last Showbiz beat to make up for this one.
I know. And I felt bad for William Shatner over the weekend. I don't know if you guys followed any of this online or not, but he was just beaten up. Because he had an obligation to the American Red Cross to attend a fundraiser in Florida and would not be able to make it back in time here to Los Angeles to be there for Leonard Nimoy's burial service on Sunday morning. And so, inexplicably, everyone seemed to jump on him on the internet. Even the tabloid newspapers, the New York Daily News, put Captain Jerk on its front page on Sunday in a big, bold headline.
That's just mean.
Saying that he was a jerk for not attending his late friend's funeral. Shatner himself said, I chose to honor a commitment I made months ago to appear at a charitable fundraiser. A lot of money was raised, so here I am, tell me off. And he opened himself up to Twitter, and people gave him a hard time, saying he made a poor choice. However, he brought an interesting point out. He said, if I walked out on a major fundraiser for the Red Cross, wouldn't you be calling me a jerk for leaving a charity high and dry? I don't know if he could win either way, but
yeah,
I felt bad for him.
I was surprised that he took on the Twitter haters.
Yeah, he opened it up.
Yeah, I was really surprised that he started answering questions. And, I mean, the people who said, hey, how about a private jet? He's like, you didn't tell me how I'm supposed to pay for that, you know,
right.
And things like that. Or the timing of it. You know, he gets down at the American Red Cross in Florida at midnight. He's supposed to be in L.A. at 8 a.m. or something. That's a tough night for an old man.
And yeah, as Ali mentioned, he's 83 years old. And so traveling overnight may not be the healthiest thing for him to do.
It's a weird world where people feel like they could give him crap for not attending a funeral.
It's his business, right?
Right.
It's his friend.
Right. Yeah.
Just because they were on a TV show that you watch, you don't get to tell them how they conduct their business.
That's bizarre.
So, to make up for it, Kevin's buying a big table at his horse chair this year, which I think is great because we all feel bad for Bill, so he's doing something nice. Speaking of Star Trek, got a great email here from listener Don Erb I wanted to mention to you guys. Dear Ralph, I picked up a really cool bit of inside showbiz information the other day that you might not have heard about. I work as a personal trainer at the Equinox Gym in Hollywood. You'll never guess who came in the other day. George Takei. I've been a big Star Trek fan since I was a kid, so it was a huge thrill for me to meet him in person and actually work with him as a client. Now, I'm not sure that I'm supposed to tell you this, but he let it slip that he's actually going to be in the next Star Trek movie, reprising his role as an older version of Sulu.
Wow.
How awesome is that? He wouldn't say how they're going to do it. I guess he'll be doing something similar to how they brought Leonard Nimoy as Spock back in the first one. Anyway, he starts filming soon, so he wanted to get in better shape to make sure he still looks good in the uniform. So now, when the movie comes out, I can tell all my friends I toned up Mr. Sulu's body. I woke up in a new Bugatti. I toned up Mr. Sulu's body.
Five.
I toned up Mr. Sulu's body.
Five.
I toned up Mr. Sulu's body.
Five.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate that.
That was 10,000 words to lead up to that joke.
That's what makes it great.
I read shorter books than that guy set up for that stupid joke.
But he toned up Mr. Sulu's body. I woke up in a new Bugatti. I toned up Mr. Sulu's body. Today's celebrity birthday, singer John Bon Jovi is 53 years old. Singer, nope, actor Daniel Craig is 47.
Mess.
You know how hard it was to get through that email? I was like wrestling with a tiger to read all those words.
Or a bear.
Or a bear, if you will. Daniel Craig's 47, Method Man's 44. Chris Martin is 38 years old. I felt like Kevin there for a minute reading that email.
Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it?
Bryce Dallas Howard is 34 years old today. Blake Anderson, Blake from Workaholics, is 31. And singer Becky G turns 18 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in on a Monday morning show, a very special Monday morning Kevin and Bean show, as this morning we announced all the details for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015, which is going to be here before you know it. We're into March already.
Yeah.
That means April's next.
Yeah.
April 4th at the Shrine, April Foolishness 2015. We just announced the lineup this morning. If you've been paying attention and would like to win the very first pair of tickets before they even go on sale this Friday at noon, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. The first caller through who can identify all of the comedians on the bill for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015, we will give you tickets. We'll also give you a hint because one of those comedians on the bill is on the phone with us right now, our friend Adam Ray. Hey, Adam, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're great, and thank you in advance for agreeing to do the show this year, man.
I cannot tell you guys how pumped I am. I seriously, when I got the call to be on, I felt like, you know how excited people are when they get called down a contestant's row and the price is right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt like I was 55 from Wisconsin, and I just won a dinette set. I feel like super, super pumped, and that lineup is incredible. How are you? You guys every year top yourselves. It's pretty bananas.
We've been running Tenacious D since we started, to come out as Tenacious D and not just a half-hearted kind of set, but they're going to come out and just full-on face melt.
Oh, they're going to slaughter it, yeah. I mean, the only way you guys can really top your lineups is if next year you got Hootie and the Goo Goo Dolls, but
that's a pretty tough
one. That might be a 90s overload.
Now, Adam, I want to ask you this, and that is you've been kind of April Foolishness adjacent a couple of times in the past because life partner Brad Williams has performed on the bill.
Brad has performed and dominated. And, so this is, extra bonus treat that, I've gotten to, see the show backstage and front stage through Brad and watch him, hump legs, get standing O's. And so now Brad and I obviously have been trying to, conjure up some possible duo stunts we could maybe pull off. Brad even suggested something along the lines of trying to get our buddy Jaleel White on stage to do some sort of Urkel dance with us. So we're definitely trying to
That's the one thing. The one thing we'll tell you about April Foolishness is we've got the lineup, and that's what we guarantee. But there are always surprises, like the year John Stamos came out with Bob Saget and stuff like that. You never kind of know who's going to be there, and that's one of the fun things because the comedy community, just like the music community. You guys love to hang out with each other. You love to bust on each other and go out and do stuff with the other guy on stage,
Oh, yeah. Well, comedians want to be musicians, and musicians want to be comedians. I mean, it's vice versa, And painters want to be musicians, and my stepdad wants to be a comedian. So everyone,
wants to be somebody else.
Now, you're out on the road right now. This is the voice of Adam Ray here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2015. Tickets going on sale this Friday at noon. You're out on the road right now with Adam Devine from Workaholics, right?
Yeah. We've been on 3.5 weeks. We've been on the road. We're in Boulder right now, or Denver, rather, and we're on the way to Vancouver. Every day has been a new train, plane, automobile. It's just, it's been crazy. The days are blending together. If you were telling me right now, the other day we were just sitting in a Chili's having breakfast in, I think it was Philadelphia, and I just looked up and I just was like, where the hell are we right now?
Yeah.
Everybody just started laughing because it was like, we clearly had no idea. A lot of booze. And
I wanted to ask, when the comedians route through Colorado, is the first stop they make when they hit the airport one of the legal weed places?
That's a personal question, and I'm going to have to go ahead and have you talk to my lawyer for that one.
But, hey, it's legal, though. It's legal, Adam.
It is legal.
That's a big yes.
You know what's so funny? That's a big yes. The venue, the pilot is trying to give you hits as you're walking off. He's like, hey, man, it's a great flight, but, you're not going to taste anything better than this, man. It's like, all right, well, that's why it was so bumpy, obviously. You were playing Xbox up there. But the venue we played, the Fox Theater, literally there was a cloud of smoke. When we walked in, and I said to the promoter, I go, oh, you guys got a fog machine. That's rad. He goes, no, man, that's weed.
I'm surprised you didn't just move there.
Yeah. I mean, it's, we're doing Vancouver to tomorrow and then Seattle. We're kind of hitting the trifecta of the legal weed locations.
It's finally legal, right, Adam?
I mean,
right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't. I don't travel with that stuff because it's just it's too dangerous. And also, I did it once on accident, and I got so I was stoned actually once going through the airport, and that was traumatic enough because you know you get so paranoid, you're watching your backpack go through the security conveyor belt, and I start psyching myself out. I start like getting so paranoid as it's going through. I'm like, I don't have 15 grams of cocaine in there, do I? Like, I've never even done cocaine. I've never even seen it. So, like, why would it be in my backpack right now?
But you're not positive. Yeah, you're not. You get paranoid.
And then the guy's looking at you, like, watching you stare at your bag, and he's like, you all right? And you're like, yeah, I'm just making sure there's no coke in there. He's like, what? I'm like, I don't know, man. This is a bad idea.
Well, Adam, we know that you're on your way to a plane right now, but we just wanted to hop on the phone with you and tell you, like I said, say thanks in advance, and we're so excited that you're going to be on the bill. And as a matter of fact, you stay on the line, because let's bring in Frank. He's on line two, Montebello. Let's recap this lineup, and then we'll say goodbye to Adam. Hey, Frank.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much. I can't believe I won. You guys.
Well, you haven't won yet. You got to tell us. Everybody, all the comedians that are playing Kevin Bean's April Foolishness on Saturday, April 4th at the Shrine. Go.
All right. I got Tenacious D, Ralphie May, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Eliza Schlesinger, Brad Williams, and Gabriel Iglesias.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a winner. We've got a winner.
Thank you so much.
He can read from the website.
Hey, not all of our listeners can do that. All right, Frank, we're going to put you on hold. Adam, who haven't you played with on this lineup before?
You know, Gabriel and Tenacious D, obviously. I mean, you know, in some of my NyQuil dreams, I opened for them.
Yeah.
You guys have been so nice to me over the past handful of years and welcoming into me. Into your guys' family, and I can't thank you enough. And quite honestly, like, this is one of the coolest things in my comedy career thus far.
It hasn't happened yet, Adam.
Yeah, there's still time for you guys to get another Ray in there.
Right, exactly.
Thank God your name rhymed. You fit right in.
I was just saying, I made it easy for that guy, for sure.
All right, Adam, well, listen, we'll let you get to the flight. For everybody else, tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon. Proceeds to Fisher House and Cedar Sinai NICU. So it's a great night of entertainment, and it's for a great cause. We'll see you soon, my brother. Thanks for coming on.
No way, guys. Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Adam. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
I'm not going to let this go. We got to figure out what the TV show is with the bear living next door.
And thank you, Bean, for being the only one that believes in
Allie's right. There's a TV show that's been on the last couple of years where people live in a house next door to a bear.
Stop saying that.
No,
like
it's true.
A thing.
And I can't find it online, and it's driving me crazy. It's driving Allie crazy. Can somebody please give us a call and
tell us
what the show is? What? What?
It's a sitcom, a live-action sitcom where mm-hmm. someone lives next to a bear.
Bear-adjacent, yes.
I think
they're
so.
Bear-adjacent.
Yes.
I think it is, yes. But I don't remember the specifics. I just remember that it's, like, completely normal.
The Cleveland show had a guy he worked with who was a bear at his place of work, but that's animated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe I'm thinking Harry and the Hendersons, but that wasn't a bear. That
no,
was
it was not. It was a
Bigfoot.
It was a Sasquatch.
No. How could Bean and I both think that they're, maybe I'll stop.
You know what it's like when you have something like on the tip of your tongue and you can't think of it? It just drives you crazy. You're trying to remember the name of something or whatever. You just can't figure it out. It's hard to move
Wait,
on.
Wait, just boo me to death? Is that it?
Exactly.
Just let it go.
Just let it go, man.
If anyone knows, please give us a call, tell us, or email, or do something.
The immortal words of 1930s, the fascist dictator, Adolf Swittler.
That's a mess.
Just shake it off, man. Thank you.
And by the way, to the guy that...
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
To the guy that tweeted, do we get to blame Allie for Ralph falling apart?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely.
Please.
I would prefer you did.
Absolutely.
Other than me. Hey, I like it when stars are nice people. And these all are. Vince Vaughn and Lady Gaga and Taylor Kinney and about 4,500 other people did the insane over the weekend. You know what a brutal, brutal winter it's been in the East and part of the Midwest.
Yep.
They jumped in Lake Michigan on Sunday.
Dude.
Did the polar plunge to raise money for Special Olympics.
Awesome.
$1.1 million was raised.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
And that's
not some ice bucket challenge, okay? It's not some BS ALS thing.
Yeah, that's the real deal.
What?
FALS. You heard me. Oh, some ice water poured on me for 1 second. Boo-hoo.
It did seem like the worst thing ever.
Jumping in Lake Michigan.
No, way worse. You're right.
In February.
Yeah, that seems like a bad thing.
That is instant frozen nuts.
Are you completely drunk right now?
I am beyond tired. I'm out of my brain tired. Yeah, it was pretty cool. So I want to say, give those guys a special shout out. You can watch a video of seeing Gaga get wet for charity if you want to. So that's
by the way, Mr. Vince Vaughn will be on the Kevin and Bean Show. I want to say Wednesday or Thursday of this week.
Oh, Mr. Vince Vaughn. Hello, Mr. Vince Vaughn. You don't tell. Oh, Mr. Vince Vaughn is coming in. I love Mr. Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn is the one who attacked Bean attacked it, and he came back with "Who hurt you?" That's where that all started.
He invented "Who hurt you?"
He did. He had a long conversation with Bean, and was just trying to interview him, and Vince would not have it.
Vince Vaughn is one of the funniest, coolest dudes.
He sure is
on the planet. Yeah, he's a good man. That Vince Vaughn. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. See what people went to see in the movie theaters. Focus was number one. Made about $20 million. That was good enough to put it in the top slot.
So tell me, like, how this story, is this based on real life?
It's a good question.
No, I do not believe it is. Kingsman: The Secret Service was number two. Then the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, hanging in at number three. 50 Shades of Grey was fourth at the box office, about $10 million. Boy, that dropped off significantly, didn't it?
Yes,
after that
it
first
did.
Monster weekend. It still made over $500 million worldwide, I believe.
Wow.
So far. Did you catch any of Dakota Johnson on Saturday Night Live this week?
I saw the sketch that got them in trouble.
The ISIS sketch?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was problematic.
I saw that sketch, but other than that, I don't really watch
that. Did you think
that
was inappropriate, Ralph?
I didn't think it was very funny. I think if you're going to... I'm all for funny. If you can pull anything off and make it funny, then I think anything is fair game. I just thought it was kind of a swing and a miss, and them sort of going for shock value without a real payoff. So, I don't think it was inappropriate. I just thought it was sort of disappointing.
Roger.
Yeah. 50 Shades of Grey, as I mentioned, was fourth. The Lazarus Effect was fifth at the box office. McFarlane USA, the Kevin Costner film, was sixth. American Sniper was seventh. Although I am getting a lot of traction for Super Sniper.
I'll bet you are.
I'd like to see that film.
I'll bet you are.
The Duff was eighth, still Alice ninth, and Hot Tub Time Machine 2 was 10th at the box office this weekend. David Copperfield. I just heard that guy, that Italian doctor talking about
David
Copperfield.
Yeah, he's very excited about David Copperfield.
He's in the news. Looks like he's going to have to fork over $500,000 to former employees of his. He's being sued by a bunch of former and current employees of a show at the MGM Grand Hotel in Vegas. They claim they were stiffed out of overtime pay that was due them.
Hmm.
They're looking for their time cards, but someone just made them disappear.
Hey, they're lucky that's all David Copperfield did to them.
That's right. He owns Rape Island.
He sure does.
He's got an island called Rape Island.
I don't think that's
what do you think's going on there?
True.
And while we're talking about your little friend, the Italian scientist over there, we're talking about the head transplants.
Yep.
A little correction here, Bean. Apparently, Stephen Hawking.
Yes.
His paralysis is caused by ALS.
Uh-huh.
Which is a disease that affects the motor neurons in the brain and spinal cord.
Right.
So if he were to get a body,
that wouldn't help him at all then.
No,
because the problem is the brain.
Ben Conray here writes in, Ralph, just want to correct something I heard during an interview with Dr. Mario Brothers. First of all, I resent that. Stephen Hawking's paralysis is caused by ALS, a disease which affects the motor neurons in the spinal cord and brain. So Hawking can't use a new body. I woke up in a new Bugatti. So Hawking can't use a new body. So Hawking can't use a new body. Yeah, Ben Conn. Yes. Conn!
Whatever Ralph is having.
I'm not sure I do.
It's called insomnia. Get at your local grocers. Today's celebrity birthday, singer John Bon Jovi's 53 years old today. Actor Daniel Craig turns 47. Method Man's 44. Chris Martin, singer for Coldplay, or as Dave the King Mexican calls him, Chris Martin.
Yeah.
He's 38 years old. Bryce Dallas Howard, she is 34. She's lovely. Blake Anderson from Blake. Nope, he is Blake on Workaholics. He is 31. And singer Becky G is 18. Oh, Becky G. We love Becky G. This is good. That's that girl. I don't think that's Becky G.
What's that?
I don't believe that's Becky G.
Oh.
Becky G had the hit song Shower last year. You light me up inside like the 4th of July. Whenever you're around, I always seem to smile. And people ask me how. Well, you're the reason why I'm dancing in the mirror and singing from the album Songs to Play Ski Ball at Chuck E. Cheese 2. Her new album. You should pick that up. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I want you to never get sleep again. Tomorrow morning, I'll do Kevin and Bean Show.
When you go to Chuck E. Cheese's, you're playing skee ball.
Yeah, we got
a lot of that kind of music.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Brand new Bachelor Report.
Yeah.
You got 2 hours for that tonight, Ralph?
I better catch a nap.
We also have Adam Carolla on the program tomorrow, and your tickets for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. You can find more out on the website, or you can win them tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.